Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode featuring Lexi.
Hello.
Hello. Just a heads up, we're going to be talking about intimate partner violence in this episode. Of course, since we're breaking it down, I think the main episode also included a mention of sexual assault, so that may get mentioned as well. Just a little heads up so you know if you want
to... Trigger warning.
Yeah, a little trigger warning just so you know whether or not you want to tune in or not. But I'm really excited about this breakdown because there were so many different things included in this episode that I feel like we touch on in different episodes. So the fact that we'll get to hash them out all in one, I think will be a really great little shtick for your Thursday if you're choosing to tune in on Thursday or whenever you're listening to this. So let's start from the beginning of this relationship. So we're starting out. This girl is 18. She's off to college. She meets this guy. He's 27 in her class. She's instantly like, oh my gosh, I am so about this guy. And so is he. She doesn't know that though. So she gets in a relationship with a different guy. It was a traumatizing experience. They break up, and now that she's trying to move on from this horrible relationship where she was sexually assaulted, this guy finally decides, oh, it's time for me to swoop in. And she's like, I'm really not ready for a relationship. Like, I just had something really traumatic happen to me. And he goes into what might be the most spot on example of love bombing that we've ever had on the Breakup Breakdown. Lexi, have you ever been love bombed?
Oh, Abby, I date girls. I get love bombed. You know what U-hauling is? I've been love bombed.
It's so funny. I was listening to almost like reverse love bombing today. I was hanging out with one of the producers on The Bird Show. Her name is Katie. For all the Bird Show listeners, you know who Katie is. For all the people that are just here from this podcast, there's a producer on my show. Her name's Katie. She also dates women. And she was talking about this experience with a woman who took her out candle shopping and expected her to pay for all the candles when they were out just running errands, which I thought was so messed up. And I was like, this girl wanted her to love bomb her. I was watching a couple of licensed therapists talk about this specific topic, and it's almost like they listened specifically to this episode and wrote down all the red flags to look out for. So the first one you can look out for is excessive gift giving. This man did exactly that. Took her out to dinner, gave her nice gifts, tried to woo her. The next one is wanting to be with you 24/7. I can't really speak for the fact of whether or not he wanted to be with her 24/7. I'm not sure if that was mentioned. Again, something to look out for. Pushing for a quick commitment. So this is interesting because they were both a part of the LDS church. And so, of course, you're not supposed to like date for a super long time before you get engaged. And so I almost feel like there was a little bit of religious manipulation as well, right?
Yeah.
And that's hard because if you're being told, okay, you're supposed to get married after dating for whatever, 4 months, and you're with this guy who is seemingly treating you well, that was the point of contention, was all of her friends and family were like, this guy is so good to you compared to your last relationship. Why would you not want to be with him?
You know, it's like you come out of a bad situation and then suddenly it's like, okay, well, it's better than the last. Still, is it?
I know. That's why I like doing this podcast so much. And I've recently gotten some DMs from a couple of people who've said, sharing this with my daughter or my younger sister, because I think if you don't have examples of healthy relationships in your life, then you don't really know what's normal. And I think people need to hear this stuff is not normal. If you're new to relationships and some guy's giving you all these gifts and you're 18 and this is your first or second boyfriend, you're thinking, what could be wrong here? So on top of pushing for a quick commitment, there's also isolating from friends and family and being offended by healthy boundaries, which was also something that she experienced. She's like, I don't want to date you. And he's like, that's too damn bad. I would like to date you.
Yeah, you know, like people think that healthy boundaries are rules. There's a big difference between rules and healthy boundaries. And, you know, people love to be rule breakers. But people shouldn't be healthy boundary breakers. That's exactly that. It's like people accept these things as a challenge. Like, oh, how far can I go with this? How much can I push this? You know, people love to break the rules and people treat boundaries as rules.
Another intersection on this relationship was the fact that it was an age gap relationship. She's 18, he's 27. And I was watching this YouTube video earlier from a therapist named Mickey Atkins. I'll link the YouTube video in the episode description. She's talking about how if somebody has more lived experience than you, that's an automatic power imbalance in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this one, from the ages of 17 to 25, your frontal lobe is continuing to develop. And we've heard that a lot.
Right.
25, like you wake up to a bunch of shit. And she said that between these ages, you actually are the most susceptible to want to change boundaries based off of what your partner wants. So from those formative ages, if your partner's like, oh, I actually don't like the fact that you're setting a boundary here, you are statistically more likely to want to make a change to make them happy.
You know, there's a lot to be said about ages. If you think 18-year-old girl and 27-year-old guy, that was the difference, right? Like, you're naturally going to be like, oh, that's a huge gap. I have said this, and I've said it on the podcast before. It's like, yeah, you are at two completely different points in your life at those ages. That's not even has to do with age. A relationship I was in recently, I have never been married. I don't have kids. I've been through some shitty relationships. Looking at some other people's life stories, like, I'm a baby compared to what some people have been through. And I dated someone for a short amount of time who was divorced, had a kid, and 4 years younger. I used to say, like, oh, I would never date older like that. You know, like, they were younger than me and have lived those lives. They have bought and sold a house with someone. They have had to deal with divorce papers. They have a kid to account for. When I'm here going out to bars with my friends on the weekends and being like, what do you mean you have your son tonight and can't hang out with me? You know, that's the thing. It's like, people think, oh, age gaps, well, that's gross. Like, you were in eighth grade when they were born or something like crazy like that. But it has to do with, like, different experiences, you know? And like, my ex dated someone like significantly younger in the midst of two of our breakups. And she said, she's like, you know, I told her when we broke up, you have like so much more life to live that I have already been through. This guy like saw it as a challenge to be with this girl. She could date 10 of him in the time it takes her to get 20 to be 27 years old, you know?
No, exactly. With the phase of life thing, like, you could take two 25-year-olds. I'm going to use 25 because the frontal lobe thing, we're on equal playing field here. And they could have completely different education levels and life experience. And one of those 25-year-olds could have leverage over that relationship, could have the quote-unquote upper hand based off of their experience. So it can definitely look different depending on everyone's individual backgrounds.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she gets into this relationship with this guy, and I believe she's about 19. At this time, they end up getting married, and I think they were married for about a year and a half before she finally decided, like, oh, this is not great. So in this YouTube video I had watched about love bombing from Katie Morton, she's a licensed therapist, she said there's actually three stages to love bombing. So there's intense infatuation, which is when he was basically manipulating her into getting into a relationship, and then the devaluation of the relationship. So that's when you've gotten what you want, you've love bombed, you've manipulated the person, and then they start being passive aggressive, they lash out when you set a boundary, they get crazy angry, which is something that she mentioned in this relationship, and then they discard you, which is the one thing that wasn't mentioned in this relationship because she was the one to actually initiate the divorce. It's definitely important to note that love bombing, if you're trying to decide, is my partner love bombing or do they just like really, really like me, isn't used to get something they want. And I believe in this case, it was marriage or some kind of commitment.
You know, love bombing, I would say, is a relatively new term. I feel like we just started hearing about love bombing. You know, what would you consider like a healthy term in relationships? Like, isn't it cute when someone says like, oh, you two are like in the honeymoon phase? Like, that's like cute. If I felt like, oh, I'm in the honeymoon phase, like I'm so about someone, like, you know, but like you look at it, okay, it's like, well, when you get out of that, where you're just being love bombed, you know, the thrill of the chase, or, you know, love when it hurts or causing chaos and like all of these things. Again, it's like you chase after what you can't have and all of these things. But now when you go over those three things of love bombing, like, it makes sense. And you never know, okay, well, am I in step one or is this going to last? And it's very easy to be blind to it. It is 100% easy to be blind to it. You can have sparks flying for so long and be like, wow, this is everything that I've looked for. Because, like, you know, there are successful stories out there where people are dating for 3 months, fall in love, marry, and spend the rest of their lives together. There are stories where people are dating for 3 months and they try to make all of these crazy things happen and it doesn't work out. So it is very easy to be blind.
100%. That's why you got to be super vigilant about noticing how they react when they don't get what they want. Because 100%. That's the biggest key to noticing whether or not you're getting love bombed. Do they buy you all these things in anticipation that you're going to do X, Y, and Z? And if you don't do X, Y, and Z, how do they react to that? So something else that I found really interesting when I was doing my research for this episode was that actually partners who have an age gap relationship are at a higher risk for intimate partner violence, which is what we really talked about a lot in their marriage. I know it probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a power imbalance and an age gap, just because you're more susceptible to manipulation. And if you're getting love bombed and someone's lashing out on you and getting angry and aggressive, possessive, boom, perfect example of how this relationship could turn dangerous.
I've never heard that before, but it makes a lot of sense.
100%. She ends up divorcing this guy and then jumping into a new relationship. Have you ever dated someone quickly after getting out of a relationship to patch up those feelings?
What do they say? There's a quote out there that pops up in your Instagram feed all the time that's like, notice that the person who cared more and actually loved them stayed single, while the person who cared less and didn't actually love them moved on. I saw this thing the one time, and I think I've said this on the podcast, it's like such a powerful statement, and anytime I like feel the need to go back to toxicity, I say this to myself: a toxic person doesn't change their ways, they change the victim. That is a very powerful statement, but there's also another side to that, because like, I don't think that this girl necessarily was the problem, even though she jumps into a new relationship. I see this about myself a lot of times. It's like, anytime I've taken back an ex that's done me wrong, we've like broken up and I'm like, okay, well, great. Like, I've wasted all this time on you, and now I have to waste all this time like healing by something you didn't broke. It is like perfectly fine to recognize, hey, I don't want to be with you, but I am ready for all these things. It just wasn't with you. Yep. You know, like, he very well might be like ready for that marriage, ready for that relationship, ready to give herself and all of these things, but like, she recognized it wasn't him, and that's okay. It is very frowned upon for a lot of reasons to jump into a new relation after. It's like, oh, I can't believe they jumped right into another relationship. But at the same time, it's like, it's also very healthy to be like, you know, that wasn't for me, but like, I've worked on myself enough to know that like, I do know what I'm looking for.
Exactly. And she was self-aware to admit that she used this relationship as a coping mechanism, because it only took her about 9 months to realize that both of them honestly had made a mistake. It wasn't a toxic relationship in the sense that the first one was not healthy at all. She was just like, I jumped into this relationship for the completely wrong reasons. And I've noticed that with myself and with my friends. It's like, it's so hard. It's like, I don't think human beings are built to constantly fall in love and fall out of love, because it feels so unnatural to be heartbroken and you feel so without after having that kind of connection. So I don't blame her for wanting to jump into a new relationship to sort of patch up those negative feelings. The last thing I wanted to talk about was the pressures that she felt to get into a relationship based off of her religion. I feel so bad, because I know we do have some Mormon listeners, and I wonder if it's because we do have a lot of episodes talking about failed Mormon relationships and some of the toxicity that's in that culture and some of the ways that it can really backfire on the people it's supposed to be helping.
You know, the story, it's like, I've previously dated someone who chose not to pursue a relationship because they felt like it was against their religion, because obviously, like, it's no secret how there's like the religious rules against the gays. From a perspective of like, on the Mormon side of things, you're maybe forced into these relationships, but on the gay side of things, like, maybe you're forced out of these relationships. There's social pressure in both aspects. You know, it's like, I have been told by women in previous relationships, hey, like, this is not okay in my religion, so I can pursue it. And I'm thinking like, okay, cool, you're gonna just like shove your gay feelings under the rug of all these things. But like, I've been a Catholic my whole life, and like, I know my place with God. It's both sides. And like, it's even harder too, like, when you come from such a strong community of like family and friends who also feel that way.
In this episode, she felt a lot of social pressure to get married because of her religion. Talk to me about the pressure that you felt within the Christian culture to not be gay and your experiences with that. Like, how does it feel to actually push against the grain and not conform to what the Christian culture says you should do?
Looking at my high school, me and my mom made this joke the other day. Everybody from my high school is gay now. Like, literally. Like, my mom will be like, how's this person? I'm like, gay. How's this person gay? And my mom makes the joke. She's like, what are they feeding you at lunch at that school? Because we're like literally all gay.
The gay propaganda. That's what they
weren't all gay. We weren't all gay in high school. But like, I don't even remember talking about gay people. I don't even remember. Like, but you know, I didn't really like come to terms with myself being gay until college. And like, looking back, I said, oh, like, I might have been, and like things like that. Like, looking back at past experiences. But like, I don't know, wasn't really like pushed on as far as not. And to be honest with you, like, I guess outside of my religion or inside of my religion, because I'm not super religious, but I also like do have strong faith. And like, I know that like my relationship with God got stronger when I stopped carrying the weight of hiding.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that before. It's like, I have never felt unloved by my beliefs because of how I feel and because of how I love, and maybe like, you know, political attack me, like, love is love and I believe in all these things. But like, at the same time, you know, I do know a lot of people, again, from firsthand experience of relationships that have ended for me because of other people. And I've literally flat out said that. I was like, then we believe in different gods if that's how you feel. I've said that. It's crazy to me because those things have never impacted my relationship until those experiences. But my heart does go out to the people who are either forced into things because of how they're going to feel, their community and their religion will impact them. And I also feel bad for the people who are forced out of things for those reasons as well.
I mean, so much of religion can be tied up in marriage, from how you view it to what your society and the culture that you're in says about it. And I think so much about religion and marriage, it's like pushed on the youths, if you will, without really giving much of an explanation for why those beliefs mean X, Y, and Z. I think for a lot of like young Mormons, I'm not saying they don't think about why they should be getting married, but I think sometimes it's just what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Whereas like, I feel like that's pretty across the board in other cultures too. It's like, okay, this is just what you do. You're 18. You either enter an arranged marriage or everybody else is doing it. So everyone just sort of turns into little sheeps, and like the pressure just ends up hitting you rather than actually thinking what marriage means to you. And also like, what is your, how does your love life and your religious life, how do they coincide?
Big words, big religious words on the podcast today.
Well, Lexi, thank you so much for coming on to break down this week's breakup. I appreciate it as always. Thank you for being my gay correspondent.
I say, if you do not end this call by calling me the gay correspondent, I need a shirt.
You need to like sign out like how they do on CNN and all the other news stations, where they're just like, Lexi Zicardi, gay correspondent, Abby Murphy News.
Love it.
All right, thanks our breakers for tuning into this episode. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.